If you have a Bible, let's open together to Luke, the Gospel, chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Give attention to Scripture, the public reading of Scripture, the Word tells us. So I'm going to read a section of Luke chapter 1, somewhat lengthy, but you follow along, should sound familiar. Luke 1, 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Let's pray together. Blessed be God, who from eternity planned a redemptive work for a rebel people in the sending of his own Son into the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our soul exalts the Lord who has done great things for us. Great to enter this world as the Son of God, the promise of Israel, the consolation of people who hope in the Lord, the Redeemer, our Savior, our Master, our Lord, and our friend. Thank you, Father, for the gift of Christ who comes into the world and for a glimpse into the historical account of a young woman named Mary who rejoiced in the Lord for your favor to her, and for Joseph, a man who followed the Lord. May our recollections of this account of your entrance into the world lead us to bless the Lord with all of our soul. And I pray that you will be glorified in heaven by souls on earth who know your worth and give you praise today. Lead us to you as we think about these things, that our hearts would be as Mary's, to ponder them, to rejoice in them, to hear your word and your voice, and to say, may it be done to us according to your word. We pray that you'll do this wherever we are today, whatever circumstance in which we've come to worship. For those who are downcast, Lord, I pray that the hope of heaven will be hope for them. For all of us in the busyness of our lives, may we ponder these things with purposeful meditation, that you will be exalted in heaven. Knit us together with yourself. Strengthen our families. Heal our hearts. Focus our thoughts on the things that last. And be glorified in this service of worship, we pray. To you be glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading the story of the entrance of Christ into the world is good for us at any time of year, but particularly to read it now helps us remember some of the particular characters. And we're able to jump into the historical account of Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zacharias, and others, and learn from them. And today I hope that we'll learn both particularly from Mary and Joseph. I'm struck by Mary's extraordinary response to this news that a son would be born to her. We think a lot about Mary at Christmas, and that's a good thing. We ought to. Mary is a character in the Scriptures that is thought much about, at least by some. It's fair to say that certain folks have tended to make too much of Mary and her role in the Christmas story. We might also say that others have made too little of her important role in the Christmas story. I hope we can strike the right balance. Certain popes over the years have tended to call Mary a co-mediatrix or a co-redemptress with Christ. A co-redemptress meaning that she aids in the process of our salvation. A co-mediator in that she helps us today to connect and relate and to communicate with God. To say such would be to say more than what the Scriptures say. The Bible says clearly that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. To be frank, Mary is in heaven today, not as a co-redemptress or mediator, but as a worshiper of the Son of God, the one true God, whom she bore and brought into the world, Jesus Christ. Mary worships him in heaven now. But we don't want to make too little of Mary as well. from this day forward, all generations will call me blessed. Not particularly because of what she has done, but because what she has received. And she's presented in the scriptures for us as an incredibly godly young teenager. From before Jesus was born to the day of his birth, her loving care for Christ, her son, is noteworthy. She was faithful to Jesus throughout his lifetime. Think of her teaching her son to walk and to learn the truths of the scriptures. And it is Mary who was with Jesus, not only in his birth, of course, but in his death at the cross, ministering to him. She was there, an exemplary model throughout. So we think about Mary and Joseph a bit this morning. What if we thought about the way in which their lives glorified God? Let me give a couple ideas to us this morning. Who is the soul that glorifies the Lord? Number one, it's the soul who is a model of obedient faith, as Mary was. The angel comes to Mary and says, "Greetings, you are highly favored. You are a highly favored one. You are going to bear a child." She does not understand this greeting. She ponders this greeting. She's perplexed about this statement and says, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel says, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son." And the angel said, "This is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and you will be with child, and the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." And Mary simply says, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." Why? Because the soul that glorifies the Lord is an obedient, simple faith. Have you ever pondered what it might have been like for Mary to be in that place and the angel to come and say, "Behold, Mary, you're favored"? There are a number of these episodes in the scripture where an angel suddenly arrives on the scene, and what has to be the very first word the angel says to a human being? "Don't be afraid." Well, that's easy for you to say. You know, that's easy for you to say, "Don't be afraid." We get this. We understand that a sudden meeting that you don't expect, totally out of the blue. You know, this is the season for giving gifts, and we give gifts. I get a newspaper every day, and when I got a newspaper 3 or 4 weeks ago, it had a little card in it, an envelope with an address on it. It said, "Merry Christmas" inside, or probably it said, "Happy Holidays" inside it. And it was from my newspaper carrier. And he wanted to wish me a happy holiday. So he gave me this envelope, self-addressed. What was he after? Yeah, he was wanting to remind me of his wonderful service throughout the year. And maybe that I would put in a Christmas tip. And I wanted to give him a Christmas tip. And I put that on my desk. And I thought, you know, I'm going to send him a gift because I appreciate that. He comes in every morning and he puts the paper not at the end of my driveway, but right at my door. He gets out of his truck. And I thought about it. And one day last week, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. And I was walking around and I was reading and I thought, I wonder if the paper's here. And it wasn't there. It usually comes about 3:30 or 4. I've been up when it's arrived. And I thought to myself, I'm going to hand him his Christmas tip. And so I got the envelope together, and, you know, now it's 3:30, it's about 20 to 4, and I had seen the truck go by, and then it pulled up front, and he gets out, and he goes to a couple houses in my area. So I had turned the light on, and I opened the door with this envelope, and I stepped out on the front porch. Now, if you deliver newspapers at 3:30 in the morning, you know, you have your head down and you're just doing your business. And he came around the corner and I was standing in my bathrobe on the front step, and he came around the corner, and I said, Merry Christmas. Now, what I should have said was, be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Because he fell back like he had seen an angel and uttered something unrepeatable in church. And I picked him up and shook his hand, and I said, Merry Christmas. And I said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And I gave him the envelope, and he said, what are you doing up? I said, I couldn't sleep. And I had a little word with him and talked with him. But I went back in the house. I said, I wonder if that was what it was like, where Mary's in her place, and suddenly an angel comes. And the first thing he says, of course, is, don't be afraid. Why? Don't be afraid. I have good news for you. You're going to be with child. She says, how is that possible? That's not possible. If you are from God, you know as well as I am a virgin. I've never been with a man. No, you're going to be with child. You sort of reset this. Mary was a chaste single woman, a young teenager. And the angel comes to her with this word. Don't be afraid. You're going to be a teenage girl, and you are going to raise God. Well, that'll be, you're going to raise the Son of God. There are two ways to think about Mary. You know, here she is, a frightened girl swept up in all these events outside her control. She comes from a rural little town, a little place in Nazareth, maybe hundreds of people in the city, and that's all. She's simple, unlettered, young teenage girl, married to Joseph. I should say betrothed to Joseph, which in Jewish custom is simply an arrangement in which they are already in some sense considered husband and wife, though they're not living together, they have not consummated their marriage, but they are certainly called husband and wife, in some way committed in a binding relationship and covenant together that they shall be married. She's betrothed to a simple carpenter from Nazareth named Joseph. She has no place among the powerful. She's a simple girl from a small town, acquainted with the most simple life. And yet she's faithful, strong in her faith, determined, godly, willing to embrace whatever this angel says. She's resourceful. God comes to her unexpectedly, not what she had in mind, and she boldly says to him, yes, be it done to me according to your word. What you say, that's what I will do. And then that's what she does for the rest of her life, and we can call her blessed. Joseph's not unlike her. Keep your finger here and turn to the left in Matthew chapter 1, and let's just look at Joseph's response. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Here in the Matthew account of Christ's birth, the birth of Christ was as follows. His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. The scripture makes it very clear that they had not had marital relations. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now here's the parallel verse to Mary saying, be it unto me according to your word. Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary his wife. But Joseph awoke. To Joseph, it sort of came in a dream. And I wonder if he woke up and said, "Was I dreaming?" He doesn't. He just says, he woke and took Mary, his wife. He got up and did. Why? Because the soul that glorifies the Lord is a soul that demonstrates obedient faith. Has the Lord said it? Then I will do it. Has the Lord said thus or so? Then that's what I will do. If the Lord said it, then I will do it. Joseph simply awoke from his sleep and he did what the Lord had said to him. It's easy to miss the bold, faithful obedience of Mary and Joseph. You have to think that this did not fit their plan. This is not all that they considered when they were betrothed together in simplicity, obscurity, maybe saying, "Oh, isn't it great to just be a little obscure couple here in the city of Nazareth? We'll open our little shop together. I'll be a carpenter, you'll be a mom, and we'll be just a little obscure couple here in our town." And God enters in. He says, "Change of plans. I've got something in mind for the two of you." And they say, "Okay, we'll do it." We learn something about this, that if this is God's son, they simply said, "I will do it." Do you ever think whether Joseph thought to himself, "What will it be like for me to raise this child? What will I ever be able to teach him? This is Jesus." But they simply said, "We will do what God says." Now, we can't leave this point without saying that in 2012, it is still the same, that you can magnify the Lord in your life. You can bring glory to God in the way you live by simple obedience, in which you say, "Lord, have you said it? I will do it." Should we put some rubber to the road on this? In what way? Well, let me illustrate it by this. Did it ever occur to you that Mary, by her virginity, was obedient to God? I almost feel a little strange in this culture to say virginity outside of marriage magnifies God. Oh, was that a pen I just heard drop? Listen, God came to a virgin who was obedient, and her virginity in her life was a prior obedience that paved the way for her to be able to say to the angel, "I will do it. May it be done to me according to your word." Why? Has God said it? I will do it. Joseph was a righteous man. He had prior obedience steps in his life in which he followed the Lord. Now, none of us follow the Lord in complete obedience, but when we learn of something, this is the will of God, this is what God has said, this is what I will do, and we say, "Lord, I'll do that." That magnifies the Lord. Obedience to the Lord. So right now, the Spirit of God may come to you and say, "What have I taught you it through my word? What have I said to you over the years? In what ways have I communicated to you that this is my will for your life?" And you've been at a crossroads to say, "Will I do it? Yes, Lord, I will. May it be done to me according to your will." According to your word. What you say, I'll do. Now, word to all of us who can look back over our life and say, "Wow, I have a lot of disobedience in my life. I have a lot of failures in which I did not do what God said." Then I say to you, good news of great joy. The reason he came is because of our failures. The reason he entered the world is to have mercy on our past disobediences and to reorganize our life so that today you could say, even though I've got failures in my history, I look ahead and say, because I know Christ, because Christ came into the world to save sins, to save failures, I could glorify God today and moving forward. I say to you, you may look back and say, "I've got all kinds of failures in my past." Good. That you know them.
And you look at them and say, okay, that's who I am. But this is who Christ is. He shall be called the Son of God, the Most High, who will save his people from their sins. And that's why he came for you. And you can begin radical, faithful obedience to what you know God said today and begin to glorify him even as Mary did. We hold her up as a model, but listen, we all stumble in many ways, and we affirm that Mary was a righteous young teenager, but a sinner who needed to be saved by the Savior who would be born from her, right? We believe that about all of humanity. This is a mark, a beautiful mark. Now, let me show you how obedience happens. Back to Luke chapter 1 for a moment, and let me show you. That when Mary meets Elizabeth, Elizabeth begins to talk to her, and this humble obedience to the Lord comes in verse, is mentioned by Elizabeth. For behold, when the sound of your greeting, verse 44, reached my ears, the baby inside me leaped with joy. And verse 45, and blessed is she who, what's the next word in your Bible? Believed. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Do you know, in a sense, what precedes our obedience is that word, believe. That I believe God has said this, and I believe that his word is true, and therefore I do it. In order for Mary to say, okay, Lord, be it unto me according to your word, she had to believe that this was the Lord, that he was speaking, and that his word was true. She believed the Lord. How can we call Mary blessed? Because she obeyed. Why did she obey? Because she believed. And that is available to us, that you must believe. That what God has done and what God has said is real, and therefore I obey. We walk by faith, not by sight. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, this is Mary, a beautiful, utter, faithful obedience to the Lord, and that's a model for us to be God-exalting people. Secondly, it's worth noting that then in verse 46, Mary begins to sing a song of praise recorded for us, a beautiful, magnificent psalm. My soul magnifies the Lord, in verse 46. And secondly, I would say then a soul that glorifies the Lord is a model of God-exalting worship, worship that sings to the Lord, that worships the Lord, that understands who he is and gives him praise. So, let's read it together. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. If you read this chapter with a pencil and circle every time you see the word humble, you'll have a clue for what helps us be people who worship. Mary acknowledges herself with the lowest status. She acknowledges her humility, her powerlessness, even at times, it seems her hunger for the Lord. She's poor in spirit. My soul is humble before the Lord. The Lord has seen my humble state. And she worships the Lord for his character, not only for what the Lord has done for her. The Lord has done great things for me. And you might think, well, what has the Lord done for you? Well, you list them. You list all the things that the Lord has done for you personally, and you'll be a God-exalting worshiper. But beyond the things that he has done for you, the things that he is. Apart from what he's done and how you've perceived it, God is the Mighty One. He is the Righteous One, the Holy One. Holy is his name. And Mary begins to worship him for all that he's done. And it requires a humility in her heart because God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And Mary was this kind of woman, as was Joseph. She saw that God was mighty and merciful. She worships him in a really personalized way for all of his provision to her. It's a beautiful model for us. He is the high and exalted one, the mighty one, whose name is holy. And yet he draws near to Mary and dwells near to the lowly and the contrite in spirit. That's what he did to Mary, and that's what he does today. It's impossible not to see the connection between obedient faith and worship. Worship is obedience, and obedience is worship. We're called to worship, and when we glorify God, we're being obedient. And when we're obedient in all the details of our life, we worship the Lord. Now, isn't it amazing that Mary ponders all these things? You have to go to chapter 2 and verse 14 where, you know, everybody's scurrying about and the angels hear glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And the angels went away and the shepherds glorified God and the shepherds came and worshiped the baby. And verse 19 says, but Mary treasured all these things in her heart. She pondered all these things. And to be a worshiper, you have to slow down a little bit, right? You can't go full on with all that happens around Christmas. Mary pondered all these things, treasured these things. We don't do a lot of pondering in our world. You don't ponder your Facebook messages because they come at you too fast. You don't ponder or meditate on your emails because they keep clicking in behind them. But pondering, thinking about, slowing down, we get a lot of bits of information in our brain. An MIT study said we're exposed to about 11 million bits of information a second. And the human mind can process about 60 bits. I think men may be a little bit less. My number's smaller anyway. We're overwhelmed by all the data that comes to us. And we learned something about this teenage girl who stopped, paused for this momentous occasion, say, I want to think about this. I want to say to you, a worshiper needs to slow down just a little bit and say, what has God done? And treasure these things. Come, let us adore him. For that to happen, you have to slow down just a little bit. A.W. Tozer said, Christ came to bring peace, and we celebrate his coming by making peace impossible for 6 weeks. Think the Friday after Thanksgiving until Wednesday of this week. That's the way we make our world. And Mary just slowed down a little bit to be a worshiper. I want to encourage you to be that same. This could be one of the greatest gifts of Christmas this year if we would slow down enough to say, my soul exalts the Lord. And whatever God says, that's what I'll do. I want to ask you again, what has the Lord said to you lately? What's the Lord said to you lately? I performed 2 memorial services this week. For one of them, Neva Fadal. She was part Italian. 88 years old, went to be with the Lord. Her daughter, Paula DeSherry, mentioned to me that in the last couple weeks of her life, she was weak, and one day on her way with Paula to the bathroom, she stopped, and her eyes opened wide. She hadn't been able to speak much. Paula turned around and saw her mom with big wide eyes and said to her, "What?" Now, her mom had been weak, and all of a sudden, on the way to the bathroom, her eyes opened up and a big smile, and her daughter said, "What, Mom? What did Jesus say to you?" And her mom, who had not said much in her weakened state for several days, in a loud voice said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm telling you, that mother-daughter together is having a sense of the Lord's impression, the Lord's word to her of a promise that she believed, then traveled through the next few days, and today while we're here, Neva is with the Lord. Now I say that to you because what do we meditate on? Why did Christ come into the world? He came into the world to be the word of God to us, to speak to us, to call us to himself, to save us from our sins, to elicit from us obedient faith, God-glorifying worship, in which we would say, Lord, did you say it? If you said it, I will never leave you or forsake you. I believe it. You are with me in this. If you said it, I will do it. Be glorified in my life. I want to say to you, as this Christmas rolls in a very few hours will be over, let's glorify the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It cannot happen at breakneck speed. Slow down. Think about what he has said. And when he says something to you, be merry. Be it done to me according to your word. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that you speak today. You speak still. I ask you to speak to every person in this room. This message this morning makes us aware of our need for you, a Savior who will forgive us, who will cleanse us, make us new, give us a fresh start, can erase our failures, and give us a new heart to worship God Most High. I pray that we will exalt the Lord together with a happy heart, a joyous heart, knowing that our sins can be forgiven and our hearts can be made right, and our hearts can come from a dullness to a sharp faith that says, whatever the Lord says, I believe it, and I magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. Lord, I pray that you'll be praised this celebration. In these days, be exalted in heaven as we worship you on earth. Thank you for the gift of your Son, the gift of new life. Lord, I pray if anyone is here today outside of Christ, unaware that Jesus came into the world to give eternal life, that you yourself, by the same power that came to speak to Mary, will speak to the hungering heart today and fill our hearts with faith to believe in Christ and to worship the King. In his name we pray. Amen.